First one is to follow your heart and everything you do and the decisions you make day to day. And I think that a lot of people put what society thinks they should be doing ahead of their heart and what they believe and what will make them happy.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
Hey guys, in this episode I talk with my friends who run Tenzo Tea, which is a green tea company where they sell the highest quality green tea and source it from Japan. And I talk about them, how they started their journey, when they were going to school, and just their journey of entrepreneurship and how they were able to build this huge business with over 120 locations. And they just started 2 years ago. So you're gonna learn from my friends just how they're able to grow and scale their business and make it a six-figure business, and now they're just continuing to expand all over Southern California. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview, and leave us a review on iTunes, and you can connect with them at Tenzo Tea on Instagram or on their website. So thanks guys for listening, and for those who are interested in learning about Instagram, you could join my Facebook group. It's called Social Ray, just one word, Social Ray Community. And if you can't find it, DM me on Instagram as ray.on, A-H-N, and I'll help you guys get involved in that group if you want to learn about entrepreneurship, online business, and social media. So, yeah, thanks guys for listening, and hope you enjoy this interview with the Tenzo Tea creators.
Hi, Steve.
How's it going, Ray?
Thanks for coming on the interview, and Robbie.
I'm Ray.
So these guys are the founders of Tenzo Tea. This is a green tea company. They sell like packets of green tea powder, which is very high grade quality. And so, you know, they're very young. You know, Steve is 23, Robbie is 25. They're both from UCLA. And so I kind of want you guys to share your story, like where you guys are from and how you guys got into this whole business.
Totally. Cool. We'll take it away.
Yeah, so I met Rob when I was 12 years old. We had a volleyball practice in Rochester, New York, where we're from, and then played volleyball with him for a few years. He went to UCLA and followed him there. While I was at UCLA, we were playing volleyball together, got into entrepreneurship. Robbie went to play professionally in Italy and then on the AVP in the US.
Okay.
And then shortly after that, I dropped out of school and moved in on his couch.
Okay.
About a month later, we started Tenzo Tea, and the rest is history. We'll tell you guys more about that.
Yeah, and then I know I talked to you before you started, you know, doing your own ventures at a young age. So, like, what was your first, I guess, venture or, like, entrepreneurship-related
thing? Yeah, like, I mean, outside of, like, mowing lawns in high school and, like, elementary school, when I was 19, I started a company with my cousins called the Adra Brothers. Mm-hmm. And we pulled my greatest growth hack ever on day one. And we made 20K in 6 weeks. And it was literally no e-commerce store, like no digital marketing, but we paid the mailman $5 and he distributed like 20,000 flyers in mailboxes all around the city. Okay. And then we got about like 100 clients within the first
super illegal
weeks.
By the way, too, which kind of later.
Yeah, the mailman ended up getting fired. Definitely don't do that. Because you can't use federal services without paying, so we needed to put postage on it, but we didn't.
Okay. You found a way around the system. So.
Yeah, we kind of hacked the system, got away with it, and it was a really kind of just a dip in the entrepreneurial experience. So I went back to UCLA, and I was working on a printing company called Kotu that Rob was involved in, too.
Okay.
We were trying to be like the Uber for printing. Big lesson that I learned there is to like... It's really just like follow the way the world's moving.
Mm-hmm.
If the world's moving away from print and into digital,
yeah,
you shouldn't start a printing company. You should kind of let the world do the work for you.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll talk more about that when we talk about why we found Tenzo, but that was a big kind of learning lesson. And then
okay,
it's also selling portable chargers with my friend Alejandro Rioja.
Mm-hmm.
And we were making a good chunk of change just selling portable chargers online, buying from Alibaba, drop shipping.
Oh, okay.
It's a totally automated company right now. He still owns it.
And then, how about you, Reeve?
Yeah, so I was born and raised basically an athlete. My parents were doctors, so I studied neuroscience at UCLA. And I graduated to go play professional level overseas in Italy. Played a year there, and then came back and played 2 years professional beach.
Yeah.
And all that time, I was, you know, learning how to be great. I played alongside a lot of amazing players and Olympians and just phenomenal athletes. And I really found that I really wanted to have some, like, more control of my life path, you know, like the ability to create something for yourself and kind of be the person that makes it happen. Athlete's cool, but at the same time, you're just kind of like a puppet being played around, you know, like there's the big league owners and like the team managers and coaches, you're always kind of at will to whatever's going on. I've always kind of been a control freak in a lot of ways. Like, I like holding the remote, I like doing my own thing. So I think just starting a company to me made a lot of sense. I believed a lot in this guy over here. Like, and when he moved out on my couch after he dropped out, we just started grinding and learning and just trying to figure out what we could really do to help provide value to the world. We did a lot. We worked on a lot of stuff. We were like building websites. We kind of like went a lot of crazy path of just like randomness for about 6 months as we started finding Matcha Green Tea, and then we like really saw the opportunity in Tenzo, so we kind of launched and went with it there.
Yeah, I want to kind of talk about that because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, these guys found their success and they think it's like right away, but they don't see the behind the stories, right, of like how many different things you've tried and how many different, you know, paths didn't work until you finally found that one path that did, you know. So could you guys talk a little bit about that? Like,
So many things to talk about there, it's crazy.
I think like a good starting point is like the very beginning, when Rob, my literally first moved on Rob's couch. So I was like pretty much dead broke, like had basically no money and was just determined to build something that was good for the world. And so was Rob. And so.
And you dropped out of UCLA at that time, right?
Yeah.
So was that like when you already had something running or
no,
you just wanted to like.
Yeah, so I was doing entrepreneurial stuff when I was at UCLA, like working with Flux Chargers and Alejandro, and we were making websites and things like that. But I have like this reliable source of income.
Yeah.
It was more like I was learning like a ton of stuff that I really liked and thought that I had the necessary like personality and qualities to be good at entrepreneurship.
Okay. But wasn't that like a big risk to drop out of school, especially when your parents are like...
Oh yeah. It's a huge risk.
Yeah.
But it tells a really great story.
Yeah.
Stories are really, really powerful.
But like what kind of made you like drop out without like any certainty anything will work out?
I just honestly think it was like a deep resolute belief in myself. And I mean, it wasn't like I was totally on a string dangling over, like alligators. Like I was working with Rob, he's one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. There's like a long-term trust thing there that's really important.
Yeah.
And then also like, I knew with like after having done the Odd Job Bros, I could make money if I needed to at any time.
Okay.
So that was always there. Like if something really bad happens, like you can always figure out how to make money.
Yeah.
That's not the hard part. The hard part is like building something that lasts and building something that's really great and how to make that like a 20-year thing versus like a 6 months quick cash cow.
Okay. So you're more about like building it's like a legacy or something that lasts and
helps
people, right? And so how did you guys like get into, I guess, green tea, just the whole green tea?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So I guess from the root of it all, Steve and I are athletes at heart. You know, we're always trying to fuel our bodies with the best source of energy and fuel, nutrition, to play at our best and be our best every day. So like we used to slug coffee, just like so much coffee, you know, like. But our coaches would recommend like coffee. They'd love to get us hype.
No, not really.
I don't know. Like we days are long, man. When you're an athlete, and, like you're waking up, you're working all day. Like your body's, you're tired, man. You're tired. So you're always looking for that energy to keep you up and keep you going. And coffee we just really didn't like it anymore. You know, it kind of gives that massive crash. It's really hard on your stomach after like the third cup. Makes your teeth brown, just crazy, the jitters, you know? So we started looking for other things to drink, other kind of energy supplements. So we found matcha green tea, and we just fell in love with it right away. It's like an amazing energy rush. It's super good for you. The other best part is it has a ton of antioxidants, and the most antioxidants of any natural food per gram.
Wow.
So it's like an amazing superfood. that has caffeine and provides this long sustained energy. And we were looking to start, we were already thinking about starting a company in the back of our minds. And when we found Matcha, we're like, wait a minute, this is like almost too good to be true. And the opportunity was there. The market really wasn't developed in the US yet. So like, when we were starting a business, we wanted something to provide a ton of value, somewhere we could win and kind of make our own thing and make it work, build a brand, find something great.
Do you guys have like a mission statement of your company?
I mean, like, the kind of very like public one is like, we believe in making the world a healthier place. And so by having matcha versus coffee or Red Bull or like a caffeine gum, it could even be something crazy like that for 5 hour. Contrary to those kind of drinks, matcha is extremely good for you. Yeah, and if you kind of take that in day by day, it's going to make a big impact over the course of your life and how you feel day to day, and how long you'll live. Like, pretty important.
Is there like a big discovery you made about matcha that you're like, wow, this is like crazy that this green tea can do this for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, so when we started, like, we had all these things that Rob mentioned, but like, it literally has the highest amount of antioxidants per gram of any edible food or drink on the planet. Like, so I like joke about like having the matcha shots like your daily freaking bowl of broccoli or whatever, you know.
And why are antioxidants so important?
Like, so antioxidants absorb free radicals in the body. So free radicals can cause oxidative damage on your cells, which can in turn cause cancer, a lot of diseases, like, they attribute a lot of, like, neurodegenerative brain diseases to, like, free radicals and stuff. It's also, like, your health, your cholesterol, like, a lot, one of the major antioxidants called EDCG in matcha, it has, like, this wide spectrum of really powerful benefits, everywhere from heart health to metabolism boosting, losing weight, to, it's, like, an amazing, amazing product.
So you guys are, like, kind of like saving lives in a way.
We can't legally say that.
If you think about all the other like soda companies and stuff, they're like, they're really killing people. If you think about it long term, but like
zero sugar, zero calories.
And it tastes good, right?
I mean, so just one thing to add, like, it wasn't obvious that we needed to do matcha, and like, we had like the experiences I brought up earlier taught us like what makes a good product. And so like, we saw like clothing is really competitive and there's a lot of things that are really hard to win. And maybe someone buys it once and then never thinks about it again. So like the chargers, you only need one portable phone charger. You don't need five. And if you buy one, you're not going to buy it like every 2 months unless you're breaking your chargers, but that's unlikely. So you need to acquire a new customer every time. With matcha, it becomes a daily habit and it becomes part of your routine. And if you can build your products and make them into someone's routine, it's super, super powerful. And so we can, exactly. Jeff Bezos calls it the toothbrush effect because it's something you do every day. And then like with Coty, the printing company, we knew that if you want to build a good startup that actually works, you want to have the wind at your back, and you want to see like, how's the world working right now? Where do I think the future is going? And then align your product and company with those things to kind of help drive it forward. So we saw that the world was moving towards healthier food and drink. Less people are either drinking Coca-Cola, they're drinking matcha, you know? And it's like, nectars are popping up in salad places and kind of like, there's a whole new market for kind of health and wellness foods. And so we just kind of saw that that was happening. We wanted to be a part of it.
I've seen your guys' Tenzo Tea like in cafes around Santa Monica. And you know, for those listening, if they're from like LA or Orange County, they should have probably seen it. So how'd you guys like market it to the point where a lot of people see your product? Like, what was your strategy?
This is a really, really great story.
It's a classic story.
This is like the ultimate entrepreneur grind story. So, like, we started this matcha company.
We were in Long Beach. Down in Long Beach.
In Long Beach. The apartment was like 750 square feet, three dudes. You know, it's jam. I'm sleeping in the living room. There's tea everywhere. We have like a large personal library, so there's just stacks of books.
It's crazy. Stack the ceiling, just green powder everywhere.
So, We are like, I would like get up from the couch and like move like 2 feet over to like my like desk, and I just like sit at my computer for like 16 hours a day. Wow. And
I'm thinking about why you're all green tea, like
matcha shots, green stuff all day. So we're there, we're hanging out, and there's this coffee shop that's really close by called Portfolio Coffee House in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite places, my favorite shops, is like where we started the whole company. Mm-hmm. So we'd go there and we'd work out there a lot. And they knew we were building this matcha company, and we're just us, just Rob and I, like we got like no Instagram followers, like no Facebook, like our website sucks, it's riddled with typos, we have no clue what we're doing, you know, like all that's like crazy, you know. Just moving fast, breaking stuff.
Yeah. My grandma's buying tea, that's the only person at that point, you know?
We have no idea how to acquire customers, no idea how to convert people. Like we didn't know those skills like really well yet.
Yeah.
But so you still did it, you know? Because a lot of people would be like, oh, that's, I don't know anything, so I'm not going to even try. But you were just...
No.
That's so, the crazy like, part. It's like, yeah, there's a mentality so where you can just, if you just know and believe in yourself enough to know you, if you've seen yourself get good at something. Like for us, it was athletics in a lot of the way. Like we saw, like, when you start a new skill and you're just terrible, it's like not a good feeling.
Yeah.
But you know that you can improve and like you see progress day after day. And that's kind of where we like started our mission in a sense. We're like, we know everything's bad right now, but every day we're gonna get a little bit better. Like one step better, learn a little bit more. And then the hope is someday we'll be good enough to be great. You know, that's kind of where it comes. Yeah.
That is so important, incremental progress. It feels kind of awkward and bad at first, but it's good. So we go in there every day. Rob and I doing our thing. Like we're like still building websites at this point. Like we have really no clue what we're doing.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear about that. Like no clue.
There's just a crazy
no direction.
Yeah. crazy guys running the shop.
Self-belief.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories about this time in our lives. But so we're going to this coffee shop every morning at 5:30. As soon as it opens, we're the first ones in the door. Every morning. And we stay there like all day.
Wow.
And then we go home and we'd work a little bit more and then we'd sleep for like 5 hours. And we go back at 5:30.
Wow.
For 6 months we went there every single day. And you know, at this time we're like building relationships with the priestess.
We know every person. The people cleaning the floors, doing the dishes, the baristas.
They're best friends. I know when the shifts change. I know the kids, the baristas. I know how they're doing in school. There are like this is like kind of our first like community building experience too. And so eventually, I give the manager my most spirited pitch, and she's like, no. You guys don't know what you're doing. You don't serve any other locations. Like, why would I bring you into mine? And then she does some math and says no. And so,
I mean, also keep in mind too, Portfolio is like probably one of the biggest coffee shops in all of LA. They're like highest volume. Even if you include all of Los Angeles, they do like thousands of customers a day. They're a massive shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, they're like, she's like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah,
why are you gonna start with us? Like, there's no way. Like, learn your place. Like, figure it out. Okay. Shoot. All right. That's the drawing board. You know. Like,
shut down. So we go and we build like PDF, like big, like 3 or 4 page document that shows like what we're due, what we're about, where we get our matcha. Here's all the pricing. You know, we didn't know all that. So we had to like,
No.
We Rob and I think I built this on Google Doc, and like Rob like put in some images. It was like a really poorly designed thing. Because we didn't know how to design either. None of it we had never done. So this is like the first steps. And so we go back and she ends up, the manager's math is wrong.
Oh.
So now we're at a competitive price point. And she's like, all right, there might be a shot. You guys are going to come here every day and maybe we can get a conversation with the other. Another few months go by. We're there every morning at 5:30 trying to figure out the e-commerce side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to sell wholesale too because we know it can be successful. And so we go in. We eventually get a meeting with the manager or the owner of the place. Her name's Cassie. And she is just an owner at this point. But she's a little bit more than that. So we go there. We give her the pitch. Rob is on like, he's on the matcha making.
My one job is to make the matcha, make it great.
Like 3 shots.
Yeah, so he's never used an espresso machine, like never steamed milk. So this is, we're just winging it. Like,
yeah.
Still winging it.
Totally winging it.
And so
you're wild too. The owner is like, oh yeah, I just got back from Japan a couple weeks ago, you know, like yeah. I like matcha. We're like, oh man,
like she knows way more than us. We hadn't been to Japan
at that point yet either. Oh, so we just like didn't really we knew a little bit just from like learning and researching, but yeah. not like enough to like be an expert by any means.
Okay. So we go to the pitch, I'm on the numbers, and you know, she's like questioning me, and we're like battling back and forth. And eventually we go home and he's like, all right, I think this could work. And we're like, yeah!
Oh, no.
And then, like, a month later, like, nothing has happened. And, like, we're, like, following up. You know, like, what's going on here? Like, when's this going to happen? Just, hey, guys, all right. Love you guys. Great job. But turns out we're not going to put you in portfolio. We'll put you in my other location a few miles away.
Okay.
It's much smaller. It's, like, a much more homey feel. It's not as fast-paced.
Yeah.
She's like, if everything goes well in there, maybe we'll put you guys in portfolio.
Uh-huh.
Which is where we really want to be, because that's a big shop in Los Angeles. So we go into Berlin. We're there every Saturday and Sunday. We're giving away matcha. We're doing samplings. We're meeting the people, same kind of community, the baristas, yada, 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 the whole ordeal.
Yeah.
Do a great job in there. Month one, two, three, still nothing happens in portfolio.
Okay.
Now it's like January of 2017, and we're like, we've been doing it for like 6 months, going to the coffee shop for a long time, no deal portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So a month later goes by, keep pitching, still going there every morning. This is not a joke, like it was almost a full year of every single morning at 5:30. And eventually we got it.
Got into
the portfolio.
Oh wow.
And then
wow.
Since they were so big in Long Beach, it's kind of like a Rockefeller effect, where if you hit them at the top and get the best one, it'll take them down.
Yeah, everyone else will want that.
So we got Cass, and like I mentioned earlier, she turned out to be like a very, very influential woman in Long Beach.
Okay.
She runs the business district. She's like on like city councils and things like that, friends with the mayor. Does a lot of really good work for the city. Super inspirational woman. Cass, if you're watching this, you rock. And so meeting her and kind of proving that we could do business with her really changed the whole course of Tenzo, because we eventually went from like one to two shops that were both Cassin's and then to like 20 in Long Beach in a matter of like 2 months, from like January to, I don't know, like February, March.
Okay. So what made Portfolio want your guys' product all of a sudden? Was it because you guys are doing well at the store? Or?
Yeah, I think
it's just kind of just knock on the door for a long
time. You guys
just
never gave up, right?
Never gave up. And it was the craziest part was, it was just like, when we finally unlocked the portfolio and got in, it was outrageous how much matcha they sold. Because everyone knew us, everyone knew our product.
Oh, yeah.
They literally turned into every other drink was green. The next, it still is, this day. They serve a ton of matcha, a ton of Tenzo tea there. Ton of Tenzo tea goes through portfolio because we kind of just built the culture in the community, and everyone's like, that was down to support. You know,
they
didn't. They just down to try it. They're like, oh wow, you're probably in here? Oh, I'll grab one, you know? Like,
heck yeah.
That's like, so cool. And then now you just look around, it's the coolest feeling, just seeing just like green drinks, and they call it, oh, Tenzo latte, the almond milk.
Yeah.
It's honestly the coolest feeling. The first couple times, it was like, oh man. So long, just like in the works.
But like you said, there's like a whole year of like no result, like no, you don't see any visible results, but you've been making those like connections that, you know, and you've been laying the foundation, you know?
Totally.
And then once you had the foundation, which took a year, but you didn't give up, then you were able to like, it was able to like skyrocket.
Awesome,
So
that's one of the things like we talk about a lot. It's like, if you, just by staying in the ring, like in the fight, you have a lot of things that work in your favor. Like, if you're really working hard every day, like, you're going to learn a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to meet a lot of people that can help you.
Yeah.
Those people are going to talk to other people, and they're going to talk to other people, and they're going to talk to other people. And it kind of compounds. And, like, opportunities will come your way after you've been just, like, in the ring for so long that wouldn't have existed if you quit or you gave up or you just kind of, like, died or thought you died.
Yeah.
Like, that's really the only thing. Only thing that can even build.
Yeah, there's been so many times we could have been like, oh man, it's not working. Like, we're out of money, we're not selling enough tea.
Yeah.
But just like knowing in the back of your head that you're not gonna stop no matter what,
yeah.
it kind of puts you in a different place, you know? Like,
yeah.
just really avoiding fatal errors, like Steve's talking about too. Like,
yeah.
don't do anything that really knocks you out.
Yeah.
Like, do a lot of small little things that'll all grow and compound over time. And then all of a sudden, you look back and go, wow, we've come a decent amount of.
Yeah,
like, we've gone away so far.
Sometimes even now, like we have this nice office, like we're selling a lot more, our team's grown, like all these cool things are happening. It's still like, it's crazy to look back and think where we were.
Yeah.
Even today, it still feels like there's so much more we could be doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are, right? You're not done with your journey.
No
right?
way.
Like,
we're just getting started.
Exactly. And then, I forgot what I was going to say, but like just throughout your whole journey, guess what has been the biggest lesson you guys have learned so far?
It's a great question.
I can start.
Yeah, you can go.
I think honestly mine was when we were doing the fundraising round. It was like we raised our seed round in December and January. To a little context, and it was like insanely stressful. And difficult because I had really no experience in finance at that point, and I had to learn like how to build like a financial model, how to like do your bookkeeping, you know, like
yeah.
we had our buddy who was doing that before, and then that kind of ended, and I was just like, it was all on my plate, and I was like working with CPAs, had never done that before. I had to like learn how to read a term sheet, like how, like what do you even want to raise? Is this debt versus equity, how much debt, what are you giving up, what's the money for?
Yeah.
Like, all these things need to be planned for.
Yeah.
Like we had like never projected more than like a few months at this point.
Mm.
We just didn't do it, and we were just kind of like going on the fly, and then it's like, oh wow, like we have milestones, and you have revenue metrics, and you have expenses, and you need to budget, and you need to hit all those numbers.
Yeah.
So I mean, I learned a lot. It was really hard. It's super rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like growing the team, expanding to an office. Excuse me. You don't know if any of the money is actually going to come through.
Yeah.
But you like are making these bets that it is.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
Yeah. And I kind of want to talk about like, you know how you talk a lot about just never giving up, and then I think like the universe or you know God or whatever, like just it, when they see someone who's like that determined. Like it moves in your favor.
It's
you know,
contagious, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like people I've talked to, like a lot of them, they've reached success when they came to a point when they, you know, said there's no turning back, I'm gonna do this, and it's like do or die almost, you know? And so once you have that kind of mindset, like the universe will shift. Like
yeah.
literally because you just you said so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like and you guys are like this living story of that too, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
We literally got an investment from an angel investor, and he was like, you know, riding in the car with him, we're going home after dinner. He's like, you know, Steve, here's the reason why I gave you guys the money.
Mm.
He goes, I was talking with my financial advisor.
Yeah.
I asked him, what makes successful startup founders?
Yeah.
And he goes, the ones that are totally crazy because
yeah.
they know deep inside them
yeah.
that they will never, ever quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, luckily, you guys are the craziest people I know.
It's
so
like,
he gives a check, and we're really lucky to have him on board.
Yeah.
It's like the ones crazy enough who think they can change the world are the ones
that will.
Do.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, exactly. So
true. I had that on my... I'm like a minimalist with like design, but that was one of the few posters I actually had on
yeah.
my
yeah.
college dorm room wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that quote a lot.
Yeah. How about you? What was your
biggest Yeah, biggest lessons. I think we've learned a ton in almost 2 years of business. I'd say the biggest thing is we're really focusing now is
yeah.
there's always a million things you can do at
yeah.
any point in time. It's really important to learn how to prioritize effectively
yeah.
and then move slow. If it feels weird, like originally when we started the company, we were taking on a million things at once, doing everything at the same time. Everything was like okay, you know, nothing was amazing. But when you work like that, you're constantly working backwards to try and figure out and find holes and find problems that you really created because you didn't do it the right way the first time. Versus prioritizing effectively, taking things on one at a time and moving slow. You're working hard still, but you're moving slow in a lot of ways because you're not like doing 10 projects a week. You're doing like one big thing a day. You do it really, really well. And you don't have to go back. Because, I mean, right now, it's really funny. Like, our website right now has pages that are on there that were written by Steve and I almost, like, 18 months ago. And that's scary. That's pretty scary.
We're editing them now.
We're editing, you know, but that's what happens. It's like boom. Because those kind of things, like, a lot of the things you do will be there a long time.
Yeah.
And especially as you grow and you're trying to build a company forever, you want your assets and everything you built to be, like, lifelong assets. You don't want them to be, like, spur-of-the-moment decisions, which is kind of a really big distinction of kind of, like, how we started building the company and what we're really working towards is doing something great. You got to just have, like, lifelong assets. You don't want to launch something that's only going to be like a, I mean, there's a lot of things you can launch, like you can do this and that, but unless you really prepare, do it really well, budget properly, and then execute, it doesn't go as well as it could in a lot of ways. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I totally agree with that completely. Like, we literally were selling like multiple SKUs of flavored matcha, cut them out and focus on one SKU.
Okay.
Trying to do like all these different social media marketing, cut it out, Instagram and Facebook only.
It's like focus, right?
How yeah.
Yeah.
There's a book, I think it's called like The One Thing, and I haven't read it, but like I know what it's about. It's like basically having one focus and then lasering down so that you could really kill it at that, you know?
Yeah, it's really important. It's
like
really
honestly, yeah, every day we're trying to do less things better. And it's hard because you have to like chop away things you think are important, but
really all the important stuff is
the core essential. Yeah.
There's only a few things that are really important.
Exactly.
Getting inventory, reselling.
80-20 rule too.
Yeah.
80-20. Yeah. What was that? Can
you explain? Yeah. Steve loves this rule.
Yeah. So it's called the Pareto's principle.
Yeah.
It's that 80% of your results will come from 20% of your things.
Wow.
So let's say like what's our 80-20 rule? Like we talk about this all the time. All we need
flavors versus regular matcha.
Yeah, flavors versus regular matcha.
Yeah.
So we have all these different SKUs, but 90% of our revenue is coming from 30 gram flavored matcha, which is our premium ceremonial organic stuff, the best matcha you can get.
Wow.
What we're selling is blueberry and raspberry stuff.
Okay.
And to scale the company, you need to do production runs for all three.
Yeah.
The costs get extrapolated out, and it's tremendously more to sell all those and it's produce them, even if the cost or the selling is like negligible in your revenue.
Okay.
So we destroyed and removed them all. Now we only sell premium.
Okay.
It's way better, way easier, way streamlined.
Yeah.
We can iterate faster.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you guys, you know, for taking the time for this interview. But before we wrap it up, I always end with this question.
Cool.
If you can go back in time to like when you were younger, and you know, you guys are still pretty young in your early 20s.
Yeah.
But like, you know, to a time maybe when you're lost or looking for direction, or when you're on your couch, you know, just like looking for something to do. And I know you've made it now, and like everything you've went through, you don't regret it, but. You know, for someone out there who might be on the couch right now, you know, or something like just looking for that path and they're just having a hard time, is there something you would say to your younger self or you wish someone would have told you now that you guys
are? Yeah, and a couple things come to mind. For one, like, don't settle in anything you do, you know, like there's always an easy way out of anything in every situation, but after most of my life, I've always found that whenever you feel friction, like if something it's not like the easiest, most comfortable thing, that's like where you grow and you get better. Because if you're constantly sitting on your couch, and you're not going out in the real world and experiencing things, it's very comfortable, but you're not going to grow or do a lot of crazy stuff. You know, for me, like looking back, I'd say I was very focused on athletics and stuff, because that's what I thought I wanted to do, you know, but being a little more like generalist through my high school years, really focusing on learning, reading. This guy got me into reading like 3 or 4 years ago, but I've had another 4 to 5 years of reading under my belt. I could have knocked off whatever, like another 200, 300 books, which would be huge, you know? And that kind of knowledge is just like investing in things early on, just have so much compounding interest over your whole life. So you can really like learn major concepts and like big ideas as you're going through high school and college, even doesn't relate to like college itself. College is like a bear just to learn and meet people and learn how to learn, you know? I feel like a lot of people get stuck or they're they don't have like a bigger vision beyond where they're currently at or what they're currently doing.
Is there a book that has helped you? Like, that you
would... Couple of books. I really, one of my favorite books is When I Stop Talking, You'll Know I'm Dead by Jerry Weintraub.
Okay.
It's an amazing book. He tells the stories of his life and how he just makes things happen.
Mm.
He's like he's a go-getter, producer, manager, agent in Hollywood. And he brought up a lot of the biggest musicians and actors and put together amazing movies. But his thing was always just like finding in the weeds, like some, like, and he never gave up. He had a crazy vision about him and just made stuff happen every day. That's like what I kind of try to live by now. I like love that mentality on life.
You're just like, yeah, envision it and you just go for it, right?
Yeah, just like, yeah. That's another thing too. Visualizing is so important, I think.
Yeah.
Like visualizing, just like putting yourself through a situation before you actually get there is so powerful. Because like your mind learns, like your...
Yeah, subconsciously. You just,
yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, so I think of a few things, but yeah, like three really simple points.
Mm-hmm.
First one is to follow your heart and everything you do and the decisions you make day to day. And I think that a lot of people put what society thinks they should be doing ahead of their heart and what they believe and what would make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So first step is follow your heart. Second step, second little point is put yourself in as much stress as possible. It's called like non-terminal stress. So you don't want it to kill you or like break your leg, but you want to be as stressed as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And then spend time recovering and then grow from it and then more stress.
Yeah.
And that's called anti-fragility, and it's really proven to kind of, it's how people grow really, really fast and effectively.
Yeah.
You can read Anti-Fragility. It's a book by Nassim Taleb.
What is the book?
Anti-Fragility.
Anti-Fragility.
Yeah,
it's
Anti-Fragile.
Okay.
So, and then the last one, the most important one, is just never, ever, ever give up. Because you only fail when you quit.
Awesome. And, yeah, where can people find you guys?
Find us on www.tenzot.co or on Instagram at tenzot, Facebook.
My Instagram's at Robbie_Page.
Mine is at So Delicious. With two L's.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Ray, thank you, brother.
Really appreciate it. Super fun.
So, hey guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. Please leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, if this was valuable to you, and share with your friends, family. And if you guys want to connect with Steve and Robbie, like, look them up on TenzoT on Instagram and their website. And also, you can connect with me as Ray.on on Instagram and Facebook and join my Facebook group. So just send me a message and I'll get you guys connected to it, or just search Social Ray Community and you should be able to find it. Thanks, guys.